Our sermon text for today is from Matthew chapter 2, where it reads, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with the mother, with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." Here ends the reading. I must admit, I was surprised that I saw it. My wife says that her hair could be on fire and I would never even notice it. But I did. I saw it. I may have been unlocking a door or I may have been going out to get the mail. I don't remember. But it caught my eye. They had been moved. The shepherds and the angel had now been relegated to behind the stable, no longer front and center as in the past. In their place were three others along with their camels. The Magi from the east, their journey of several feet, was complete. The kings had arrived. They are in their kingly best, yet they still kneel to worship the true king, the babe in the manger, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And they come bearing gifts. Don't forget about the gifts. I look to make sure their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh are still there. A funny thing for a pastor to do in the house of the Lord. Or maybe it's just a habit from my other vocation, a vocation of grandpa, and having grandchildren who like to play with grandma's pretty little things. Did you notice? The Epiphany was Friday, January 6th. I dare say many of us didn't. Our calendars, our schedules, even the church calendar is so full that unless it falls on a Sunday, it may go by without even so much as a mention. We are so busy that unless it's on fire, we may not even notice, and maybe even not then. Since Christmas, there have been 8 feast, festival days, commemorations in the church year. 8 in 14 days. Days to remember great men in the church, men like St. Thomas, St. Stephen, the Apostle John, William Loah, one of the great pastors of the LCMS. There was a feast day on December 28th to remember the Holy Innocents, the first martyrs of the Christian church. And last Sunday was New Year's and the circumcision and naming of Jesus. Unless we forget number 8 and January 6th, and the Epiphany, when the wise men came to visit the baby Jesus. So why talk about it today? Why bypass the readings for today, pivotal readings, monumental readings, to talk about this Christmas story edition, an add-on even, when this other blockbuster event is center stage? Well, I think it's because we underestimate the importance of this visit from the East. And the Epiphany is really the only time we actually talk about it. Sure, we mention it as a nice addition to the Christmas story, but do we really dig into it? Now, Jesus' baptism in the Jordan, on the other hand, is incorporated into our messages and our sermons and our music and our hymns all year long. It's a common thread woven throughout our tapestry. The visit of the wise men, maybe not so much. So let's dig in. What is it that we know, or that we think we know, about the Epiphany? The Epiphany is celebrated on the 12th day of Christmas. It is also known as the Festival of the Three Kings and the Christmas of the Gentiles. St. Matthew's account of the Magi's visit to the Christ child is the only narrative of the wise men's visit in the Gospel readings, and so it is the traditional Gospel lesson of the Epiphany. The word Epiphany is taken from Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared. And the word appeared is Epiphany in Greek. In the early church, the festivals of Epiphany, Easter, and Pentecost were all occasions for the baptism of new converts. This tradition was appropriate, and it coincides with the day's emphasis on the revelation of Christ to the Gentiles. We traditionally think of three kings, which is reflected in the familiar Christmas carol, "We Three Things of Orient Are." Of course, we don't actually know that there were three kings, nor do we know that they were actually kings. We like to think that there were three because it parallels the three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Greek word translated as wise men has a wide range of meanings. And besides wise men, it can mean priests and men who are experts in astrology, interpretation of dreams, and various other occult arts. But the thing that we can be certain of is that they were Gentiles, Gentiles like we are. So what is it that we can learn from all of this? What can we learn from these Gentile wise men of old? First, we are told in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, that the wise men rejoice with exceedingly great joy. What is it that we get excited about? What is it that gives us joy? Do we get excited about getting up on Sunday mornings to come and worship our King? Does coming to worship give us joy? Or is coming to worship just another task that we must do? Another box to check off on an endless list of our chores. Secondly, it says that having fallen down, they worshiped him. What is it that makes kings worship another king? What is it that makes us worship him Sunday after Sunday, week after week, year after year? This person of promise, this baby king. And do we come in a spirit of humbleness, of humility, spiritually falling down on our knees, on our face in an attitude of repentance, crying out to mercy to a merciful God? Or do we come as a Herod, a self-made king of Jerusalem, looking only to give false worship, but secretly wanting to steal that worship for ourselves? And thirdly, having opened their treasures, the wise men brought him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Many attempts through history have sought to explain and correlate these three gifts to Christ symbolically. Tradition would have that the gold would reference his royalty, the incense his divinity, and the myrrh his sacrificial death on the cross. Be that as it may, maybe another approach is simply to allow them to be gifts fit for a king. The example of the wise men then would beg the question, are our gifts fit for a king? Do the time, talents, and treasures we offer today reflect our treasures and the person receiving them? And time today may be our most important treasure. God does not ask us to look at our calendars and look at our schedules to see where we can just squeeze some time in for him. Well, let me see. Maybe I can squeeze in some time for him the fifth Tuesday of the month right after bingo practice. But God does ask us about our priorities. I'm sorry, but my son won't be coming to soccer practice on Sunday mornings because we have church then. Or my daughter won't be selling Girl Scout cookies on Wednesday evenings because we have confirmation then. God made us his priority when he came in the fullness of time, in the form of a babe in a manger, to save you and to save me from sin, death, and the devil. Why? Because we couldn't save ourselves. And he wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19, verse 10. It is imperative that we who have been led to see, to know, and to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin and as our way to heaven, share the good news with others by showing them that it is important to us, important enough to build our calendar around it, not in spite of it. And if we are too busy to fit it all in, too busy to notice unless it's on fire, then maybe we're too busy. I think we've all probably seen the bumper sticker or heard the saying, wise men still seek him. The epiphany of our Lord still continues today. The prophet Isaiah declares, arise, shine, your light has come. Chapter 60, verse 1. There are still people today who have not heard the good news of Christ's birth. But the angels no longer speak from the heavens, nor is there a star that leads people to Christ. But God has given us the means of grace through which the Holy Spirit leads people to faith in Jesus Christ as his, as our Lord and Savior. Today, Christ uses us, Christians who in faith have heard the message of Christ through the Word, have seen God working in their lives, and have knelt before the Lord in worship. We are now that star that is to point and lead others to Christ. We are now the wise men who declare the wonders of Christ to those who have not heard the good news of Jesus. We are the instruments to share the gospel of Christ. The epiphany of the Lord continues through us. Be the star that leads people on the journey to the babe in the manger. Be the wise men speaking the truth to people and kings alike. And do it all to the glory of God's holy name. Amen.